Hi there.
My name is Rob Ogilvie, and I've met many of you. You're getting tired of seeing me, and I understand that completely. But I'm really shocked at how kind you've been to the Green family thus far. I remember the last time that I was at the Green family's home, where those nice, sweet children that were up on that picture there had put bugs in ice cubes that were in our drinks. And they were sitting there anxiously waiting for them to melt and for us to see what was actually inside of these little ice cubes. So I come to you not on behalf of the province of Alberta, but I come to you today with warnings on behalf of the province of British Columbia that you better watch out. Watch your drinks when you're at the Green's house, because you just don't know what might happen. It's a privilege to be able to be back here again. And I was thinking the last time I was here was about a year ago. And I know it was a year ago because I saw some pictures a week or so ago from people who were gleaning after your service. And I was able to go and do some gleaning of some apples a year ago with you and enjoyed that. And my wife really enjoyed it when I brought those apples home and was very thankful for them as well. And so it is good to be here. And it's good to be here to be able to spend a bit of time sharing God's word with you and then just harassing the Green family as much as we possibly can in any way that we can. I'm surprised there wasn't any pictures of you pulling fire trucks around or something like that. You know, some of the...
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, somebody dig one up, would you, offline? And we'll put it up a little bit later. And... Kids? Yeah, you can come up with that. Ben, how old are you?
13.
Sorry? 13. Okay. So we've known the Green family for about 14 years, probably, then, because Ben was born when the Green family was a part of a church that I was pastoring in Coquitlam, B.C. And so that's where our connection goes back to with this family. And we're grateful for that connection and the friendship that has grown over the years, and we're excited for you as a congregation. And look forward to, after this message, carrying the message right into this induction, where someone so eloquently put it at the beginning, right? And since the gestation period is over and Kevin's about to be birthed. And so I know that most women really don't appreciate the term induction service. It brings back too many scary thoughts. But anyway. There was a forest fire that was burning out of control, and a photographer for a national magazine was told that a small plane would be waiting at a local airport to fly him over the fire so that he could take pictures. Photographer arrived at the airport about an hour before sundown, and sure enough, there was this small Cessna plane that was there waiting. He jumped in with his equipment, and he shouted to the pilot, "Let's go." And the tense man sitting in the pilot's seat swung the plane out onto the runway, and soon they were up in the air, although they were flying rather erratically. "Fly over the north side of the fire," said the photographer, "and then take several low-level passes." "Well, why?" asked the nervous pilot. And the photographer said, "Well, because I'm going to take pictures. I'm a photographer. That's what I do." And after a long pause, the pilot said, "You mean you're not my instructor?" I flew into Kelowna this morning really thankful that didn't have any issues, any problems like that. I think the moral of this story is that it's always good to know who it is that you're flying with. And right now, you as a congregation, and you, Kevin, as the new pastor of this church, are still getting to know who it is that you're flying with. I know Kevin has been here for a while, and Cindy, and some of the kids, and yeah, it's been complicated, but not quite as long, but it takes time to get to know one another. Kevin's getting to know the various characters that make up First Baptist Church, Kelowna. And you're getting to know the character of the man that you recently called to become your pastor, and trust me, he is a character. Yeah. It's an exciting time, and I want you to know that along with your own excitement, About 60 of your sister congregations across this province and about 170 congregations right across the Canadian Baptists of Western Canada share your excitement with you. And we're excited that Kevin is formally being inducted into his role as your pastor today. And I wonder if, Brian spoke earlier and mentioned the search committee, I wonder if you would just take a moment to thank your search committee. Search committees work hard in these processes. It's always challenging. It's a big level of commitment. And when I come in and I sit down with search committees, often the first question is, how long is this going to take? You know, because anytime you join a committee, you want to know, right? And I usually say to them, you can count on at least 18 months. And that's when half of them get up and leave because they didn't want to hear that answer. No, but it can be, you feel a burden when you're on a search committee that you want to be obedient to God and you want to be faithful to his people here. And so we're thankful for the role of the search committee in this past process as well. So we gathered together and celebrate. And this morning we're going to look at two passages of scripture from the Apostle Paul's letter to the churches in Ephesus. The first portion has Paul telling his listeners why and how he would pray for them. And the second, he challenges them to remain united in serving Christ. I'm going to read this passage through as a whole, first of all, and then we're going to walk through it verse by verse, or line by line at least. And as you listen to this, particularly as a whole, I want you to hear Paul, every time he uses the word you or your, I'd like you to imagine that Paul is praying for your congregation, for this congregation here, First Baptist Church, Kelowna. So every time you hear that word you or your, think of yourselves in that way. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14 through 19, reads this way. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Go back to verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I love this line because this line gives me a feeling of belonging and connectedness to God, the creator himself. The New International Version says it this way: for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Each of us gets our name. Each of us gets our belonging from God, the Creator himself. And Paul has spent much of the first part of this letter to the churches in Ephesus trying to help them to understand their connectedness, that they are a part of a family. He's explained to them the fact that the Savior, Jesus, is not just a Savior to the Jewish people, but that he's the Savior of the entire world, both Jew and non-Jew, the people known as the Gentiles, who would have been the majority of the people who were actually in the churches in Ephesus at the time. And he's telling them that God has called him to, in particular, to spread the good news of Jesus to the Gentile people as well. So when he begins this passage that we're looking at by saying, when I think of all this, he's thinking about the fact that he's been called by God to help those who are not Jewish to understand this life-giving truth and to help them to realize that they too are part of the family of God. And he carries on. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. This isn't some sort of new age, if you believe in yourself, and you'll have the power within yourself to do whatever it is that you want to do. Paul clearly defines where the power that is from within comes from. And that power from within is the Holy Spirit. You recall the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, the counselor, the guide, the one sent by the Father to dwell in our hearts and our lives, the one who gives us gifts like teaching or leading or hospitality or pastoring, the one whom through we can produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit is the one that is the inner strength that we have. It's not just through some of our own self-appointed, self-imagined power about how good and how competent we really are. Then Christ will come and make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. That Christ would become so familiar to us, I think, is that it's through all aspects of our lives are filtered through Christ. It's easy to break down our lives sometimes. Well, we have our home life, and we have our work life, and we have our school life, we have our community life, and we have our faith life. And it's not supposed to look that way. It's that all of those things are filtered through our faith life, right? It's through that relationship with Jesus Christ. It's through that empowering of the Holy Spirit that our lives are truly filtered. And we have this new look and connectedness. We have a new lens, in a sense, that we look through. 4 weeks ago, I had surgery on my right eye. Some of you may be sitting there saying that have known me from the past, you're going, there's something different about that guy. Well, a lot of people have said that over the years, but there is something different about that guy. But I'm not wearing glasses. And I had a cataract removed from my right eye. And when they did that, they put in a new lens. And you know what's really cool? I can see. I had no idea that it was going to work this well. Originally, he told me something different. But I can see to the point where I can legally drive. This is how you define seeing, right? You can legally drive without glasses. That's the important thing. And so I can legally drive without glasses. He gave me this new lens. And I think that it's the lenses of our faith. It made me think about the fact that it's the lenses of our faith that we look through that define everything about who we are. My wife Bonnie and I were reading a blog the other day that was written by a friend of a friend of ours. And this individual is a young doctor who's serving in Namibia in some pretty harsh conditions in what he's doing, and really challenging stuff. And in this blog, he's writing about some of his experiences. And this one particular entry we read, he was writing about the death of someone that he had gotten to know. And as we read this thing, we recognized the fact that it was dark and it was sad and there was no hope of any type. And I scrolled back in it further just to try to get a bit of an understanding of this person, because I wasn't sure if he was a person of faith or not. And when I came across one of the posts that where he self-described himself as an atheist, and I suddenly realized he was looking through this, he had a whole different lens than the lens that we were looking at this situation in. And his was a lens that had no hope, no assurance, no confidence of looking forward. And it was just sad. And you think how difficult it must be to not be able to walk and filter through our lenses of faith, all it is that goes on in our lives. Paul continues to carry on in this passage. He says, your roots will grow down into God's love and will keep you strong. Do you get windstorms in Kelowna? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, the trees get swaying and things get a little nasty sometimes. Yeah. Where we used to live about a year and a half ago, my wife and I moved to East Vancouver. Now we don't look out for trees falling, we just watch for guns, you know, things like that. You got to be a little more careful in that area. But we used to live right beside a ravine that had these huge, massive trees. And I remember a couple of years ago, one storm that went through in the wintertime, and just watching these trees just bend way over and wondering if one of them was going to snap and end up being on top of our home. And thankfully, that never happened, although, interestingly enough, when I listened to the news later that night, a tree in our neighborhood did come down, and it crushed three cars when it did that. It's a great visual to see that. And this line, though, talks about the roots that go down deep. And so Paul's saying, when the storms of life hit, do our roots go down deep enough in understanding God's love for us that we're actually able to weather those storms? We have witnessed lots of storms in our days. Storms take all different forms. And I'll bet if I went around this room and started to ask people, you would describe all kinds of different storms that you have had to weather as well. It may be illness, it may be unemployment, it may be the inability to have children, it may be loved ones who have died. Even a storm of a pastor leaving, maybe a little sooner than what you thought and would have expected. Storms take all kinds of different forms. But if our roots go down deep enough, we may shake, we may sway, we may struggle, we may stumble. But if those roots are secure, our lives will not come crashing down. The storm will pass. There will be new life on the other side. And today is an example of that new life, even on the other side of that storm. And he carries on with another great image in this passage. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Don't you just love that picture? If you find yourself going through struggles and feeling that you're alone or unloved, then take this passage. Come back to this passage. Read it again and again and again. And be reminded just how wide, how long, how high, and how deep, just how profound the love of Jesus truly is. It is so profound that he was willing to give his own life to face the ultimate storm for each and every one of us. That is a verse that brings comfort and strength in all different situations. The Creator of everything in heaven and on earth, through the power of his Spirit, desires to give each one of us a mighty strength, motivated by a deeper and more personal understanding of his love for us. And I think this is essential for us in the church today. To be the church today doesn't mean that we just need to be concerned with what's going on inside of these, I was going to say four walls, but there's a lot of different walls in this particular building. It's not quite that cut and dry. But we can get hung up sometimes on ourselves, our own stuff within the walls of the church. We can spend time arguing over the color of the paint in the Sunday school rooms. We can spend time arguing over the location of the piano in the sanctuary. We can spend time over what kind of coffee we will serve after the service. And I know that one's really touchy for some people. You know, he's saying we can't, you know, just let it go. But yeah, let it go. Being the church today means being motivated by that power of the Holy Spirit from within, by that love of Jesus himself, to look beyond ourselves into the community and see how it is that we can be Jesus to the people that God brings across our paths every day. We were challenged by this in the same way at our Banff Pastors and Spouses Conference just last week. where one of our speakers talked about the fact that so often we as Christians hide out in the open. And she had this great picture of a giraffe standing behind a pole or behind a tree. And it was great because a lot of the neck was hidden, right? But the front of the head was still out here and the whole back end was out there. We were hidden in plain view, was how she kept calling it. And sometimes we as Christians, and I am guilty that I hide in plain view. I really didn't want anybody to sit beside me on the plane this morning. I really wanted to have time to go over my message and not have anybody sitting there. And it was selfish. Nobody sat beside me on the plane, so I was really thankful. But sometimes that's how we act, you know? We know that we want to be God's faithful servants here. And at the same time, we hide and we blend in. And we really don't look any different than anybody else. God is alive and well and active in the world around us. Amen. Yeah. We probably wonder about it sometimes, right? There's difficult things. In the news, just in this past week, I don't know if you heard this piece here, but in the Lower Mainland, there was a woman who went missing who was suffering from postpartum depression. She disappeared, and it took close to 3 weeks, and then her body was found, left behind a husband and a little boy. A few days ago, I got news that two men who used to be a part of one of our churches in Victoria went to Mexico. Some of you may have heard this story on the news as well. One of the men was killed there. The friend that he went to Mexico with is now in jail, accused of killing him. Or sometimes somebody's voted into public office, and they could be people who talk about truth and integrity, but they are unable to live out truth and integrity in their own lives. These types of things happen. And when these types of things happen, sometimes we are left wondering, really, is God there in the world? And this morning, I want to reassure you that God does not abandon his world. He does not abandon his people. And he is looking for the church to come alongside him in whatever that difficult situation is. Another one of the churches, one of your sister churches in BC this morning, probably sometime around now, are receiving some news that they don't want to hear. And many people in that congregation are going to wonder, what in the world is God doing in this place at this time? And I can't tell you what the lesson is that they're going to learn from this, but there will be a lesson. And there will be hope, and the storm will pass, and there will be a new season, and there will be new life that will come on the other side of that. I am assured and I am confident. First Baptist Church Kelowna, you have the opportunity and the privilege and the responsibility to faithfully serve God in this community. And I encourage you to keep your eyes and your hearts open as to how God can use you in this place. And as you do, I want you to remember these words that we find just a few verses later in Ephesians chapter 4. There's the first three verses there that we read this way. It says, "Therefore I," and Paul again, "a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." You have been called. Each and every one of you, as individuals and as a church family, have been called by God. In that calling, this morning, we ask you to be humble, to be gentle, to be patient, to be united. You have a new pastor that you have called to give leadership to the ministry of this church. Love him and his family. Support him and his family. Encourage him and his family. And allow him the chance to lead along with your leaders in this body. I remember the first induction service I had, first time I was induced, was in a small town called Weyburn, Saskatchewan.
Was it painful?
As a man, I will very much say I cannot make that comment at all. Yeah, and I don't want to go there. Just get myself in trouble. But while we were there, we had friends from Alberta who came. Interestingly enough, friends from Alberta. They're tough, those Albertans. You know that? They're tough. In our case, the friends came, and afterwards there was an open mic, not a suggestion here, but there was, in the fellowship time, there was an open mic where anybody could speak and share if they wanted to. And the wife of this husband and wife duo that had come from Alberta, who were our friends, got up to the microphone, and she said some really nice things, and then she said, "If you are not nice to these people, if you don't take care of these people, if you're not good to them, and if you cause them grief, I will be back. And you will have to deal with me." Trainers might be that way. I don't know. They might be back to do that. I don't come today to make threats against anyone, pastor or congregation. But I do come today to celebrate with you. Celebrate this new beginning, this new life, and this new ministry. To remind you of the power of God through his Son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you. To remind you that Jesus' love is wide and long and high and deep. And that his calling on all of you in this new season is to be the hands and feet of Jesus to this community. And to be open to that. To be open to the Lord's leading. As Kevin takes on his role, as he serves with Eric, and as he serves with they serve with all of you, that you would walk together and minister in this community and beyond, and look forward with excitement and anticipation to what it is that God has in store for you in this next season of ministry. And with that, I want to invite Kevin to come up. Because we want to have this chance to formally induce you.
Do we face each other and hold hands?
You're not sure, are you? I'm glad we're not wrestling. That much I can say. So what it is that we're about to do here, some of you are going, I still don't understand what this is about. And so let me try to explain it to you. It is just this opportunity of recognizing this new season. And it's an opportunity where Kevin makes commitments before God and before you to the ministry to which he's been called. But don't just sort of sit there and think, okay, they're just doing their thing and lunch is soon so we can check out, right? This is very important because this involves you as well. And after I ask, and between Kevin and I, we exchange some commitments, I'm going to turn to you. And we're going to ask you to make commitments as well. Because this is the ministry of the church. This is not about one individual. This is about the church as a whole that God has called at this time. All right? Are you with us? You ready? I always do this. People get tired of this, I know, after a while. But I always do this. Because by the time the sermon's ending, you know, you've kind of nodded off. So I want you back. I want you back. I want you to be aware. I want you to be alert. And I want you to think about the words. Don't just let it gloss over. Think about the words that are being said and the words that you will commit to as well. We're gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the head of the church, to commission Reverend Kevin Green into the ministry of First Baptist Church Kelowna. Kevin, so that your faith and integrity of purpose may be apparent to all, will you now answer the following questions? Are you persuaded?
I will.
Thank you. That wasn't an actual question, but that's okay. That's okay. See the semicolon. No. Kevin, are you persuaded that you are truly called to this particular ministry according to the will of Christ and the customs of this church?
I am.
And are you motivated for ministry by a deep desire to walk with God, a love for Jesus Christ, and a passionate concern for the lost and hurting people of God's creation?
I am.
And Kevin, will you enthusiastically and diligently minister the truth and wonder of Scripture, the sacraments, and the doctrine to this church community and the greater community of Kelowna?
I will.
And Kevin, will you be faithful in caring for this congregation, for giving leadership to the ministries of this church, in discipling Christ's people, and modeling hospitality to the congregation, to outsiders, and to the marginalized?
I will, with God's help.
And Kevin, will you pledge to live a life that models the kind of personal morality, spiritual vitality, and gracious joy that will continue to the building up of the body of Christ?
I will, with Christ as my guide and strength.
Amen. Kevin, you'll only be able to maintain this response not on your own strength, but on the strength of the Holy Spirit, God, and His grace. You're called to make disciples and to proclaim the Word of God. Kevin, this ministry will be your great joy and privilege, and it's also a weighty responsibility which none should dare to undertake except for the call of God on their lives. To you whom He calls, He will always give His strength. And now we turn to you, the people of First Baptist Church Kelowna. I'm going to ask you a few questions. You don't need to respond. I'll ask you to stand at the end of these questions. But I want you to think about these as I read them slowly to you. And be mindful of the commitment that you also are making this day. So are you, the people of First Baptist Church Kelowna, persuaded that Kevin is the person whom God has brought at this time and into this place to be a pastor among you and a leader in your ministry? Will you seek to make His work a joy and not a burden? Will you be sensitive to His needs and the needs of His family? Will you seek to minister to Him as well as with Him? Will you assure Him of your confidence, your encouragement, your patience? And don't miss this last one. And will you commit yourselves to regularly pray for Him? If so, would you please stand? Cool. And if you're visiting here this morning and you're not sure if you should stand, please stand as well. We would love to have you. Love to have you be a part of that. And now we have an opportunity where we will pray for Kevin. So I'd like to invite the elders of the church to come forward. And anyone else, if you would like to come up and lay hands on Kevin and be a part of this time of prayer, I will lead us.